Years ago, the great kings of Rajasthan were mainly devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. They worshipped the holy land of Vrindavan. As you remember, it was Maharaj Raj Singh Man Singh, Maharaj Man Singh, who helped to build the Govindadev temple, Radha Gopinath temple, Madan, Radha Gopinath temple, Yugal Kishore temple. Many of these great temples were built by the finances and the management of the great kings of Rajasthan. And most of the original deities of the six Goswamis were taken to Jaipur, Nathdwar, Karoli, for protection from the great fear and danger of the Muslim attacks. So some time back, one of the great kings of Jaipur, he had a particular devotion to Sri Radharani. And he wanted to move the deities of Lahari Lal from that place where there was an old temple in somewhat disrepair and build a magnificent new temple for them to live. He also arranged it in such a way that when he would come here, he would bring his ministers as well. And he and his ministers would live in rooms around, and Radha Krishna would be in the middle. The idea was to give himself, his family, and all of the other government officials the clear realization that Radha and Krishna are the real king. We are all the subjects. We are all the servants. This is your government. Government means to protect the laws of God in the service of God. In the United States of America, the emblem of the nation is the words, "In God we trust." One nation under God. When we were little children, we would have to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag every day. It was the law. We had to put our right hand over our heart. Do you remember my hand? It was the law. Every student had to do this. You'd be kicked out of school if you didn't. You had to put your hand over your heart, the place where Krishna, the Paramatma, sitting. And you'd have to say, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America." What's the rest?
"The country for which it stands."
"And for the country for which it stands."
"One nation."
"One nation under God." Yes?
Indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
Indivisible with liberty and justice for all. The key of that sloka is one nation under God. But now, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is banned from schools. If you say it, you get kicked out of school. Because they say that our schools are secular and we cannot put any influence on anyone to believe in God. So this is how Kali Yuga is progressing. But it was the idea that everything is the property of God, and the king is the servant of God. We find the great kings in the Puranas, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Dasarath Maharaj, they would bow down at the feet of the great sages, because they knew the great sages are the representatives of God, and we are meant to serve their instructions. So the great kings of Jaipur, even 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they were of this consciousness. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, our kingdom belongs to Krishna. We cannot claim proprietor over anything. We are the servants. But the tendency is when you get power, you think, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. In any field, political field, business field, spiritual field, when you get power, the tendency of the ego is, I am the enjoyer. I am the center. But we are all humble servants. That is our eternal constitutional position. So he wanted to arrange it in such a way that Radha and Krishna were the kings, they were sitting on the thrones, and we are all coming together to serve their words. So he built this beautiful, it took years and years and years, you can see. Everything is hand-carved stone. Today's generation, no one does like this anymore. Now it's just concrete and steel. And sometimes when they want to become a little more opulent, they put some plastic. But look at this. Such intricately detailed, hand-carved stone. This was not done just out of professional necessity. It was done with devotion. These artisans were actually devotees. Do you know, in the Christian churches, back in the time in the 16, 1700s, it was called the Renaissance era of Christianity. The people who worked for the king was a devotee of Christ. They made such beautiful, beautiful artwork to glorify God. Many of you may have seen pictures of these gigantic cathedrals, all hand-carved marble and stone with the most beautiful paintings. Incredible. Sometimes it took hundreds of years to complete one. Of thousands of workers, 24-hour shifts, working, working, working. And amongst these cathedrals, there are seats that people sit on. Seats where the choir, where the people sing. The seats are such intricately ornate designs. And if you look under the seat, nobody ever looks under the seat. Under the seat is the finest, most beautiful hand carvings, intricate. Because it was their mood that we are not doing this for the reputation of ourselves. We are doing this for the pleasure of God. And no one will see the years and years and years of work that we're doing under these seats. No one will ever see it. No one will ever look. No one will ever know that we have done it. But God knows. And we are not doing it for man, we are doing it for God. That was the mood that they had. when they were performing their art as a savor to the Lord. So this wonderful temple, just look. What would this cost today to build? So they worked for years and years and years, and it was complete, and the king wanted to bring his ministers to come. They wanted to come here to make their major decisions. Barsana, the holiest place, to get purified. Unless we have a pure heart through bhakti, we cannot possibly make the right decision for anyone's real well-being. This is the problem with politics today. We have our congressional houses, we have our lower houses and our upper houses, I don't know what you call everything in India. But all the congressmen and all of the MLAs and everybody, they're all arguing and fighting and each has their party spirit. They cannot possibly make a right decision for the real benefit of anyone unless they have pure hearts. God reveals to the pure heart of his devotee. Therefore, the king wanted to come to Barsana and beg Srimati Radharani for pure heart and pure vision to serve the citizens. So they built this beautiful temple. And the date was made to bring Lala, these ancient deities, to be installed on the throne. But just before the installation, Srimati Radharani appeared in a dream to the king. And she said, "Very nice that you have built this temple, but I do not want to leave this mountain that I am staying. This is my eternal home. Do not take me from here." This is called Man Proposes, Radharani Disposes. This was a good lesson that we should not be attached to the fruits of our action. So, in honor of Sri Radharani's desire, he excavated and helped build a better temple there for Radharani. And in this temple, he installed the deities of Sri Siddhartha Kushal Vihari.
Happy Vihari.
Huh?
Happy Vihari.
Happy Vihari. He enjoys being happy. We would like to ask His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj to speak, and then His Grace Srimad Dinabandhu.
Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, we have come to the sacred abode of Srimati Radharani. As His Holiness Danadar Swami Maharaj so nicely explained, Srimati Radharani is the personification of the Vladini Shakti, or the potency which gives pleasure. And her only thought is to give pleasure to Krishna. Bhakti means to give pleasure to Krishna, to desire to give pleasure to Krishna. And the activities of devotional service are actually meant to be the expression of the pure desire to give pleasure to Krishna. So what pleases Krishna and Krishna's representative more than anything is the pure and simple desire to please them. Not so much the external features of the particular service we offer. Once when Srila Prabhupada was staying at Mr. Sethi's house in the Juhu scheme, before we had any place for Srila Prabhupada on the Juhu land, Hare Krishna land, Srila Prabhupada was speaking with some important guests and senior devotees, when suddenly, out of nowhere, a poor man, a simple laborer, somehow or other, found out that Srila Prabhupada was staying in the house, which was not complete. It was not ready to be occupied, really, by the family who built it. He came in the house, came up the stairs, walked into Srila Prabhupada's room, where he was sitting with his guests and senior devotees. He was dressed just in a simple white cloth, nothing on his chest, nothing on his feet. And he placed some flowers that he had picked somewhere on the table in front of Srila Prabhupada, put his head to the floor, and left without even saying one word. And Srila Prabhupada was so moved, he was so touched, he could not speak for several minutes. He was just thinking about the simple act of devotion, of the humble laborer. And he said that, I am so touched by the simple act of devotion. And even Krishna, he feels the same way. And therefore in Bhagavad Gita he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Tayam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. That if one offers him with love and devotion, the most simple item, like a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he will accept it, and he will actually feel obliged to the person who makes the offering. So, what really touches the heart of Krishna is the pure desire to please him, not the material offering. And Srimati Radharani is the personification of the desire to please Krishna. And therefore, as Maharaj said, she is Mahabhav Swarupini. She is the embodiment of, or the form of Mahabhav. Srila Rupa Goswami has described the development of bhakti. Bhakti means the desire to please Krishna, to serve Krishna and please him. And it begins with faith, adol shraddha. We develop some preliminary faith in the devotees, in the message of Krishna, tata sadhu sangha. And then we begin to associate with the devotees, like all of you who have come here on the yatra, want to associate with devotees, and therefore you have come. Then tata bhajana kriya. After some time one will become convinced, he'll become serious, that I want to do like the other devotees. I also want to adopt the process of Krishna consciousness. I also want to surrender to the spiritual master and take initiation and engage in the regular practice of devotional service. And then there are so many stages, anartha nivritti, nishta, ruchi, ashakti, bhava, and prema. And prema is the highest achievement within the material world. But there are actually further stages of development beyond prema that are not possible for us in the material world with the physical bodies we have. But they are necessary if we want to serve Krishna in Vraja. With prema, we can go to Vaikuntha and serve Lakshmi Narayana. But if we want to serve Krishna and Radha, and especially Radha Krishna, we have to intensify our desire to give pleasure to Krishna even further. And therefore, our acharyas, like Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and of course Srila Prabhupada, have explained that after leaving the present body, the perfect devotee will take place on the planet within the material universe where the Lord is having his pastimes. And there the devotee will practice his service to Krishna. And as he practices his service to Krishna, his love will develop further into sneha, man, actually probably will visit man kutir, huh?
Mangar.
Man is a very peculiar transformation of prema, which we'll hear about when we go there. Then pranaya, rag, which means intense attachment. And it's actually when one comes to the stage of rag that he can enter into direct service to Krishna in Vrindavan, in Dasyaras. Then after rag comes anurag, even more intense desire to serve Krishna. Then one can serve Krishna as a friend. The desire to serve becomes so strong. One doesn't want any interference of awe and reverence. One wants complete intimacy in friendship. And then further, one can serve Krishna as mother or father. Tomorrow we will go to Nandagram and see the home of Nanda and Yashoda. And think how they serve Krishna with such intense parental affection. And then after Anurag comes Bhav and Mahabhav. And in order to serve Krishna in Madhurya Ras, one must develop Bhav and Mahabhav. And even within Mahabhav there are different stages. Rudha Mahabhav, the queens in Dwarka, then Adirudha Mahabhav, the gopis of Vrindavan. And then Srimati Radharani, she has even higher developments. And her desire to please Krishna is so intense, her love for Krishna is so intense. Some of the symptoms of her love are described by Rupa Goswami, that when she feels separation, when she feels the pangs of separation, all the living entities in Vraja become affected. The trees, the creepers, the flowers, the birds, the beasts, they also become overwhelmed with her mood of separation. And Lord Krishna, even he may be miles away, when Radharani's ecstasy of separation reaches the highest points, he faints. He faints. So we can't even conceive of such love. What His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj is true, that sometimes in such intense love, Srimati Radharani forgets who she is. She forgets her body, she forgets her whereabouts, she forgets her paraphernalia. She's just completely absorbed in love for Krishna. And in such high states, there is meeting and separation, and separation in meeting. Meeting and separation means that her feelings of separation are so great that she actually realizes the presence of Krishna in separation. She may see a tamal tree, which is blackish like Krishna, and see Krishna there and embrace the tree, and it will actually be Krishna. And sometimes, even in meeting, there will be the feeling of separation. Like there's one place called Prem Sarovara, which is not too far. And there Radha and Krishna met, and they were sitting next to each other, embracing, and there was a bumblebee that was hovering around. And Lord Krishna did not want any disturbance to the pleasure of Srimati Radharani, because just like the devotees want to please Krishna, Krishna also just wants to please the devotees. He also has no selfish desire. So he asked one of his friends to please make the madhu, which is by which he meant the bee, to go away. So after some time, the friend came back and said, the madhu has gone, the bee is gone. But Krishna is also known as Madhu, Madhupati, and so on. And when Srimati Radharani heard the words that Madhu has gone, she was so overwhelmed with separation. Although she was in the embraces of Krishna, she began to weep uncontrollably. And when Krishna saw the weeping of Radharani, he also began to weep. And their tears formed a lake, or a pond, which is called Prem Sarovara. So these are the most exalted states of love of Godhead, love of the devotee for the Lord and love of the Lord for the devotee. So we have to get one just ray of such love. If one ray of such love just enters our hearts, we will be completely purified and transformed. And again, the purpose that we come to such holy places and hear the talks at such holy places is to make ourselves receptive to such mercy that one ray of love of God, if it can just enter our heart, we will be completely transformed. And as His Holiness Radhanath Swami so wonderfully explained, and always explains very wonderfully, the way to be receptive, to become open to such mercy, is to offenselessly chant the holy names of Krishna and to serve the devotees of Krishna. Both activities are very clearly within our ability to perform. So even though we may discuss very exalted states of love of God, but the means to become eligible for such love is very simple. It's the exact process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us, and that our present leaders are also teaching us and training us to do. I remember one incident now when we were in Calcutta. Achyutananda Swami, this was, I think, 1971. Achyutananda Swami met the landlord of the premises where we were staying, Mr. Roy. And Mr. Roy was a Bengali gentleman, and he perhaps had his own ideas of spiritual life. So he started telling Achyutananda that although there is no difference between Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but actually Lord Chaitanya comes first, and Radha and Krishna come from Lord Chaitanya. And then he said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually greater than Radha and Krishna. Just like a rasgulla is made of milk and sugar, but it is greater than milk and sugar. So, Achyutananda, we were all very new in India, And even though Achyutananda had come before us and was more knowledgeable, he was also a little confused. So he approached Srila Prabhupada. And he related the conversation, and then he asked the questions that who actually comes first? Is it Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Radha and Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada said that Radha and Krishna come first. He said the same example. First you have the milk and sugar, and then you make rasgulla. Then Achyutananda asked, well, who is greater? And Srila Prabhupada paused for a moment, he looked down, and then he replied, Srimati Radharani, she is the greatest. And then he pointed to a picture on the wall in his room. And in the picture, Radharani was sitting on a raised platform, and Lord Krishna was sort of kneeling at her feet. This is Man. She was in Man, which, you know, is generally translated jealous anger or prideful anger. But it's all spiritual, and it's all ultimately for the pleasure of Krishna. So Lord Krishna was kneeling at her feet, trying to remove her Man, or in other words, trying to please her. But there she was. She was sitting up and he was kneeling down. And Srila Prabhupada said, Srimati Radharani is the greatest. The devotee is the greatest. And then he pointed to another picture. And in the other picture, little Krishna was carrying Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. And then Srila Prabhupada said, Nanda Maharaj is the greatest. Because Krishna is carrying his shoes on his head. And then Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee is the greatest. But Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that when Krishna comes under the control of the devotee, he does not exactly come under the control of the devotee, but he comes under the control of the love of the devotee. And what is the love of the devotee? That is prema, or bhakti, or any transformation of bhakti. And that is actually Radharani. That is the manifestation of Ladini Shakti that gives pleasure to Krishna and also gives pleasure to the devotee who is trying to give pleasure to Krishna. And as we are experiencing gradually more and more, the pleasure that we can get from devotional service is far greater than any pleasure of the material world. For the pleasure of prema bhakti, great kings have left their palaces, their families, their opulences, just to serve Krishna. So one last point that Srila Prabhupada often made on the occasion of Sri Radhastami is that the love for Radha, between Radha and Krishna, is not material. It is completely spiritual. And therefore, the greatest sages and saints, the greatest brahmacharis like Shukadeva Goswami, who have no interest in anything of the material world, who have given up the material world, they are seeking the opportunity to glorify Radha and Krishna and serve Radha and Krishna. So how is it possible that the object of love for persons who have given up every pleasure of the material world, how is it possible that he or they, if we consider Radha and Krishna, how is it possible that they could want any pleasure of the material world? Simply by thinking of their activities, we become purified of all material desires. So how is it possible that they have material desires to fulfill in their relationship? Not at all. So we should always remember that the affairs of Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and the gopis, are completely free from any taint of material lust. And even when we think of the gopis' separation from Krishna, the gopis want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. Even that is based on the desire to please Krishna. Because the gopis know that no one can understand Krishna like they do. No one can give pleasure to Krishna like they do. And they know, wherever Krishna may be as a prince in Mathura or Dwarka, they know that none of the devotees there can make Krishna as happy as they can. And therefore they want to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan so that they can see Krishna happy in every respect. So we pray to Srimati Radharani and her exalted servants that they may bless us with just a particle of a ray of their love, so that we can properly serve Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas and properly chant their holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana shalakaya Chakshurum militam jena tasmai sigravinama Sri chetanamanubhistam stapitam jena bhutale Sayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadandigam Adadanastrinandantai ridam yache puna puna Srima rupa padam bojo dulisyam jamajamani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Kadara Shivasari Govattarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So we're sitting here in this most wonderful Dhamma Barsana. We should be aware that there's no other higher place. We're very fond of Barsana, but we should be aware always that the highest place in all existence, as told to us by Srila Rupa Goswami, is Radhakund. But still Barsana has got a very special sweetness for us. Actually, the very name is sweet. Those, of course, who know Hindi, they can understand Barsana. Here, Barsha means rain. But here, not ordinary rain is falling like the first day you came. Here, the rain that is falling is Krishna praying. And later today we'll go around this whole mountain and we'll find that the whole place is sprinkled with the wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It is rightly named Barsana. It is raining Krishna praying, it is sprinkled everywhere with wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is actually a playground of Radha and Krishna. As we came in, first we saw that wonderful palace of Bisvamanu Maharaj, very wonderful darshan of Bisvamanu and Kirti Dasridhan. And Maharaj, he mentioned that if you look out, and we go back now, as you look across, you can see the hill of Nandeshwar Mahadev. Radharani used to sit on top of that palace and look towards Nandagram, just thinking of her beloved. Nanda Nandan, he would go on top of the Nandeshwar palace, and looking towards Barsana, he would also think of his most beloved. So these are very special. Then they came up the bottom of the hill. There's also a beautiful temple of Sudama. You can see it. We go right at the bottom of the hill, just left of the staircase, there's a little temple of Sudama and Sushila, his wife. As we came across this beautiful park, you may have noticed some little black dome near where there was a Babaji doing some kirtan. There was a little blackish dome. That is the place where Narayan Bhatta Goswami found these beautiful deities and established. The temple was established on top of it. It's a small little temple. If you look closely, because probably now we'll go behind the temple, you see on far left, there's a little tiny temple. And the king, whose name was Sawai Madhav Singh, when he built this beautiful palace, just a little tiny, you'll see, a little tiny broken down temple was there. Now where the kitchen was, when we first came up, walked in the door and there was a little doorway straight in front of us. That was the second temple. And later there was some big saint. What was his name? Anyway, he has a beautiful palace also inside the village downstairs. But he built this beautiful temple and now recently they've extended it. It's become glorious. Because in this place, you have never seen a Radhastami celebration until you've seen it here in Barsana. Even with the courtyard, now it is doubled. Before it was only half. When Sri Narayan Maharaj was sitting, that was the end. But then they've doubled it still. You come here, there's 12 different kirtans going on. It is the most amazing celebration. It starts from the evening time. They have a beautiful pool bungalow for the deities. And then all of a sudden, there's 12 kirtans going on all over the place. One of them, all night long. Everybody, all night long, they just sing and dance their hearts out. You can understand, this is actually Radharani's appearance day. People just sing their hearts out and dance their hearts out all night, starting from 6 o'clock. One kirtan becomes prominent, everybody sort of gravitates toward that one. Then another one becomes prominent, everyone gravitates toward that one. Then one in the back becomes prominent, and everyone gravitates towards that one. It is so astounding. One time I fulfilled one of my very strong spiritual desires that I always had. I brought one bus, actually 56 devotees. Bus was 55-seater, but Mother Nartaki, she was sitting on the floor, so we had 56. And we came here and always my desire was to have our own ISKCON kirtan going on. All the Brij Bhagis were in bliss. They were all coming, "Oh, Dinabandhu, Ananda Rai." Yeah, this big, powerful kirtan in the middle there. Then everyone divided up and went off to see all the different things that were going on. About midnight, the Brij Bhagis, they came back to me and said, "Dinabandhu, get your kirtan together." So somehow I grabbed devotees again at midnight. We got a huge kirtan. All the Vrishbhasis were in bliss. They were all upstairs watching and everybody was just ecstatic. Only other desire I still have left is to be able to do the same thing in our own temple. All night long, everyone dancing and singing their hearts out. This is still one. So as Maharaj said, this is one of the most beautiful temples. I mean, just see, this is all carved. This jali work, this whatever you call it. I don't even know what you say in English, but you all know jali. This is all carved out of stone, lattice work. All carved out of stone. The Maharaj said, they knew who was the actual king. It's like Jai Singh. Jai Singh was the one who took his father, it was Man Singh, who built that Govindadev Mandir. Then Jai Singh came and he took Govindadev to Jaipur. And all of his orders is all signed in the service of Sri Radha Govindadev. Whatever order he assigned, is signed in the service of Radha Govindadev. He's just the servant of Radha Govindadev. So these were all amazing personalities and these were all amazing places. And even more amazing, we're sitting in these amazing places and everyone is telling about even more amazing things. We're hearing so many wonderful things. We're just forgetting all the flavors of this material world. We're hearing about all the different flavors of praying. So many different flavors of praying are there. We're just forgetting all the flavors of this material. We're just hearing all these. Ramana Swami was talking about the different flavors of praying. Our Giriraj Maharaj, he was talking about the different flavors of praying. On up, on up, on up. More flavors are there. Srila Narayan Maharaj was talking about this. Sham Ras Madhu. Sham Ras Madhu. That only Srimati Radharani has. That is, there's another competitor we won't mention. Her name is something similar to what the Sanskrit word for the moon is. But her praying is like ghee. Now, ghee is very soft and very nice, you know, and it pours very sweetly. And, but still, in the pouring, it breaks. It comes in sometimes in drops. Beep, 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 it breaks. But Radharani's praying is like honey. I was just thinking, Maharaj Radharani Swami was speaking there and begging us, pleading with us. I don't know a stronger word. What is this? More to become beggars. And his lecture was just going. It was just like honey. You know, honey. It goes very slow, and then it comes down, and it just it doesn't break. It just comes in a big long stream, and you pour it, and it just zoom, but it just zoom. And even you try to stop it and it just keeps going in a big line. You turn the bottle up and it's still just coming in a big long, long line. It doesn't ever break like that. This is that honey prayer. It's just unbroken, always continues to go, very, very sweet. So we're hearing all of these sweet things in this very sweet place. Maharaj's lecture was reminding me. Actually, I'll be short. So, Kasrinath Chakravarti, he has made a very, very short verse explaining the whole mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Three lines, he's explained the entire mission. Just like I was very happy last night, Puri Maharaj was very pleased, he blessed me. After I gave my presentation, he quoted that verse of Krishnadas Kaviraj, that true eloquence is the essential truth spoken very simply. Like that. So this verse of Srinath Chakravarti is like that. It explains our whole prakama and everything we're doing here. Aradya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavana Ramya Kachir Pasana Vajavadu Vargena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Namadam Prema Kumarata Maha Sri Chaitanya Matamitam Tathadavana. What is it? Tathadavana Phala. Aradya Bhagavan Brajesha Tanayas. Our worshipful Lord, that is the Brajesha. Brajesha means Nanda Bhava. That son of Nandabha, he doesn't say Krishna, he wants to make sure we know who is our worshipful Lord. That Brajesha Tanaya, that son of Nanda Maharaj, he's our worshipful Lord. Or Tad Dhamma Vrindavana, this Vrindavana that we're circumambulating, this is also worshipful. And how to worship? That worshipful Lord is Brajesha Tanaya. How to worship him? Ramya Kachiri Pasana Brajavadu Vayagina Vakalpita. Kalpita, whatever has been imagined, that very lovely Ramya Kachit Upasana, that form of worship, very lovely form of worship, imagine whatever the gopis have imagined, Rajavadu means the gopis of Raj, whatever they have imagined, whatever they have done to worship, that is our form of worship of that, our worshipful Lord. And our praman, Srimad Bhagavatam, pramanam, kamalam. This is our spotless praman. Prema, pumarta, mahana. We are after that honey prem. That is beyond, as Maharaj would explain, that is beyond all of these other tasteless. All these things become taste flavorless. We're after these different flavors of prem. Prema Pumarto Maha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This is the mutt of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Patadu Alapa. Beyond this, there is nothing. Three small verses describing our whole prakrama, our purpose for coming here to this holy dham to learn how to worship that Lord and how to worship that Lord, following in the footsteps of the gopis and Srimati Radhika, who's the greatest worshipper. Prabhupada, sometimes he would describe Radharani as just see the greatness of Radharani. Everybody's after loving Krishna. The Krishna, he's after the love of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada was singing this song that he sang. I was praying to sing that song when Maharaj obliges us, but he's singing that song. Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Dayate. She's the beloved of Madhava. Everyone's after the love of Krishna. The Krishna, he's trying, Prabhupada said, just see the greatness of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's trying to love Radharani. Everyone's trying to love on Krishna, but Krishna's loving Radharani. Just see the greatness, Prabhupada says. Just see the greatness. And just see the greatness of our spiritual master. His father always used to beg whenever sadhus came, you please bless my son. He didn't say that he'll become devotee of Krishna. He didn't ask for that benediction. So you please bless my son that he will become very dear servant of Radharani. That was the benediction. And there was no more, we're hearing all about the wonderful compassion. That song also says, Karumai, she's just ocean of Karun, compassion. Raghunath Das says, Karuna videha avidrava deha. Radharani's body melts in compassion. So ordinary person's hearts melt in compassion, but Radharani's whole body melts in compassion. So Prabhupada was in that same mood, giving this compassion, just sprinkling these Prabhupada's books. That is just like that, those little sprinkles of that melted karuna of Srimati Radharani. He was sprinkling all over the whole world. So just see the greatness of Radharani, see the greatness of our spiritual master. And Srila Narayana Maharaj, he quoted this most wonderful verse of Prabodhanand Sarasvati, just to show us the greatness of Radharani. Krishna is speaking and he's saying, just to make me the stick in the broom. Now broom, this is very, very low class thing. And Krishna is saying, I want to be the stick in that broom that is sweeping the kunjas of Barsana, just so I can be associated with the dust of Srimati. Everyone is after the dust of Sri Krishna. But he wants to become a stick in the broom, in the hand of the sweeper of this Barsana who's sweeping the kunja so he can be associated. So therefore I offer my obeisances hundreds and millions of times to that Srimati Radhika. Prabodhananda says, everybody, all demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, sages, rishis, munis, they're all worshipping on Sri Krishna's lotus feet. But that same Sri Krishna whose lotus feet everyone is worshipping, as our Giriraj Maharaj was describing so sweetly, Prabhupada pointed to the picture, that Sri Krishna, he's worshipping on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And to that Srimati Radharani, I offer millions and millions of prostrated dandavas.
We have beautiful darshan of Srinandagram Dham. Across 8 kilometers from here is that beautiful mountain of Nandeshwar. On the very top of the mountain is Nanda Bhavan, the home of Sri Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, where Sri Krishna and Balaram perform their wonderful pastimes. It is said that Sri Radharani's house and Sri Krishna's house, they would make many different types of signals to each other to make plans for meeting in Prem Srovar, Sanket, and these other beautiful kunjas between Nandagaon and Barasana. Sometimes they would take light like a candle and they would put their hand in front of it to make different sign language, light language. And they would see each other's expressions of love from one hill to the other. Shri Barasana Dham Ki.